Welcome, Public Investor 12-03894, found in bad faith for telling truths Wall Street wants covered up. Now, I prefer being called six-pack Sally, swinging at low-hanging fruit on Wall Street. And over the course of 9 years, after the SEC, after the Securities and Exchange Commission asked me to be their investment client whistleblower, a victim of Don J. Bennett, not industry, no, not a securities broker dealer firm the SEC has congressional authority to engage with. After 9 years of my giving the SEC papers they asked for, they welcomed the hoodoo investment advisor, Don J. Bennett, was found guilty on all 17 counts as charged. Convicted on all 17 counts means Don J. Bennett is a felon. Ironically, a constituent of a class I successfully achieved the single most significant reform in criminal justice conversations. That is, until President Trump signed the First Step Act into legislation. Well, that said, what I did, what I accomplished, what I did not get credited for because politicians, politicos do not attribute, what I did remains the single most significant reform in criminal justice conversations. And POTUS, President of the United States, his act is not now nor never will be the first. And as I like to tease about Kim K and me, what Kim Kardashian did with one felon, Alice Marie Johnston, and the influence of taking clothes off, I did to hundreds and thousands of Virginia felons who served their time. I kept my clothes on the whole time. Count your blessings. Work in D.C., in the District of Columbia, long enough, you see behaviors less than etiquette correct. And you see that these behaviors are accepted. Not getting credit on a single most significant issue happened to me before. SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States landmark decision in Van Orden versus Perry, caught me off guard then, too. I saw no reason to loan six of my photographs, my faith photographs taken of landmarks and sites in the District of Columbia. I saw no reason to loan six of my photos for the amicus brief of Van Orden versus Perry. The amicus brief, amicus, friends of the court brief submitted in that matter of the ACLU suing the courthouse in Texas for having a Ten Commandments representation on courthouse grounds that a homeless attorney the ACLU was using as their plaintiff, Thomas Van Orden. That homeless attorney was the face fighting faith in public places. And then along came Kerry. More exactly, along came my photographs that I loaned to the state of Texas as evidence for the state of Texas amicus brief. No thanks. No note. No copyright carry on the images. All I got were headaches, and more headaches, chasing down copyright abusers. Even Alabama's Judge Roy Moore used my pictures without permission. Ever tried to challenge a judge? Think twice. On the other hand, their bark is worse than their bite. I know about government persons beyond Judge Roy Moore using my content. I was not surprised that political personalities were doing so. Disappointed? Yeah, very. You sort of expect that. Lawyers and people sworn to uphold the law, officers of the court, are held to an even higher authority. More so when it comes to taking pictures on an issue of the Ten Commandments? Well, hunkering down to get things right is a way of life inside the Beltway. Patience, time, persistence, papers. You hope all is good in time. Eve of the State of the Union Address, I got a call back from the ERLC, the Ethics Religious Liberty Commission that I had put a call into. I am on their list, it seems. It seems I'm on many people's email lists. Many of the Prison Fellowship's community post my speaking up at the 2015 Ask Summit held at Georgetown Law School. After speaking out on FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, and my speaking out on the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, curating their security broker dealer firm's member, their constituents' crime cover-ups. Yeah, I'm sort of persistent and blunt and simple in how I look at things. Yeah, I'm unique in this conversation of Wall Street crime and Main Street victims. I speak for investment clients. I speak for investment advisors, the good ones, and there are good ones themselves, as an industry victimized by both FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, and the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission. You break a law, I call the cops, is what I tell FINRA and the SEC. Well, there's a little bit of a bug in that boondoggle, in terms of telling cops, that is. You see, I learned along the way that cops with a notion something was not right had to toe the line their superiors drew in the lower officer's sand. I learned that, police don't make decisions of what police can do or not. I learned the gatekeepers, the way forward to make change in laws reining in police who want to go after Wall Street whales. That way forward is through the City Council, the D.C., District of Columbia City Council. Yet another road forward I have been butting against since 2014. Politicians, even on the local level, just like on the federal level, just like on the state level, politicians come and go. So meetings have to be held over and over and over again, as if the first conversation never took place. I think I began first telling D.C. Council in 2014, Vincent Orange. Vincent is a colorful, controversial figure in D.C. politics, but he also was the head of the DISB, the Department of Insurance, Securities, and Banking. Oh, trust me, this has been a creative journey. This has been a test of persistence. Yes, it has been. So the ERLC, Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission email, prompted me to visit their website, where I read their story, the ERLC story of prison fellowship. Like I said, attend one summit, one hearing where victims are brought for a congressional dog and pony show to achieve groups' goals. Mailings start flooding my inbox. Fam, they had Bernie Kerik stand to give witness and others. Kerik had his own foundation Kerik was touting. You remember Kerik, Bernard Kerik, the New York City top cop who was convicted for hiring an illegal immigrant, a nanny, with intent? Around the same time as the Teresa Guidici issue hitting the celebrity TV shows with the tax and other issues? Well, top cops, politics, conservative, yep, the Trump pursuits are New York politics as usual. The Innocence Project, the business of prison is a small enough world. Why I called the ERLC, well, in hindsight, I don't remember exactly. I guess it's believing at some point the competition will understand my purpose is to get this goal won and done as quickly as I accomplished the felon restoration dignity, as quickly as I did. One article, one phone call, 1 week, history was made. I just didn't get credit from a future, maybe, presidential candidate. No, he knows. We talk. I remind him. I stand between him and the presidency. Well, Heather from the ERLC called me back. I asked. She answered. The government relations person. Now, if you ever call a nonprofit for a purpose and you get a call back from the government relations person, take a lesson. Say bye fast and hang up. Life lesson the Pollyanna in me just isn't submitting to is that people working for an entity are collecting paychecks, just as was the staffer on felon voting restoration that worked for Terry McAuliffe, as was Terry McAuliffe's general counsel, Carlos Hopkins. Giving that staffer info is feeding the beast. I did ask Heather, who are you going to pass my call forward to? The call from the person that wrote the way forward to restore voting dignity to Virginia felons, spots that can be filled by the criminals of slime and grime Wall Street, bringing this need for fellowships to an end? Well, Heather said, no one. Gotta give Heather credit for her honesty. Where I sit, one day ends, a new day begins. That felon thing now has risen to the level of political capital, rebranded as criminal justice reform. Putting a toe in the water is not called swimming. It's called putting a toe in the water just to get by. Welcome to Criminal Justice Reform 101. Business as usual? Not quite. Because I talk public. I write public. I name names. I tell people I'm a whistleblower. Sort of like that Aesop's fable about the fox and the scorpion. And the scorpion wanted to get to the other side. And the scorpion told the fox what the fox needed to hear to give the scorpion the ride. Although I'm not calling myself a scorpion, it's the end lesson I'm looking at. Where the scorpion stung the fox, and the fox said, Why did you do that? And the scorpion said, because I'm a scorpion, which is sort of how I look at politics and scorpions and politicians who are scorpions. They're going to do what they're going to do because they are scorpions. They are politicians. And I am still a Pollyanna. So for decades, 40 years, the ERLC's website says the ERLC has been operating its prison fellowship mentoring to the hearts, souls, and faith of felons inside, outside, the slammer. One article I wrote, creatively, albeit outside the box and idiot-proof, but one article I wrote did for felon rights restoration with more to be done that I'm sitting on at this time until the time will be right, hopefully, again. Thank you, ERLC, for reminding me to have a talk with myself, being my own road forward, being my own team of three, me, myself, and I, continuing to do my work under the radar, connecting dots, getting things done. But it is the under the radar, the unattributed part, I am working to change, to make sure that I don't end up the criminal felon dignity restoration version of G.I. Joe in the toy industry. When I worked there, it was a standing joke that everybody that worked at certain companies took credit for being the person that created G.I. Joe. It wasn't one person per se. In that case, it was a team, but they all wanted that credit. In this case, I want the credit to be the resource that people will know to come to, so I can walk them through the Wall Street documents to make sure that each felon, each lifer, each person in death row, each person being advocated for by the Innocence Project, that they get their chance to come out of jail as if they are entitled to it. Let's be clear that they are innocent of what they are being charged with, as I am innocent as what I was being labeled with being in bad faith. I want to make sure that their road out of jail is slam dunk rock solid. I also want to make sure that a Wall Streeter is put into that place. A Wall Streeter who is a criminal, who has been left outside of prison walls for decades, living a life, voting. The ERLC, as are other ministries and faith communities mentoring that's been going on for decades, well, God bless them. But the monies raised by these nonprofits is huge, huge. Emails go out from them with donate in caps on buttons showing where to click. Donation emails come routinely, timed to holidays, telling stories of victims of the prison systems, telling success stories. Donate. Click. Similar solutions these mentors promote have a $10 description attached. It goes along the lines of restorative criminal justice solutions targeting prisoners, criminogenic risk factors through programming based on individualized risk assessments. My one article, my now 9+ years of being a Securities and Exchange Commission requested investment client whistleblower, one article was a solution to Congress's problem, that felon thing. I said it simpler. I said it idiot-proof. A marketing style I used when I was designing. where I would lay out a presentation to show the elephant in the room rather than show the room with the elephant in it somewhere. I said it's simpler, idiot-proof. Inarguable visuals showing Wall Street crimes Wall Streeters do not go to jail for. Fraud, forgery, identity theft, elder abuse, my mashup paired Wall Streeter criminal crimes up with a same year, same month, same city or state, matched to a Main Street criminal's arrest for a low-level drug crime the Main Streeter was locked away for 10 years or so more, while the Wall Streeter stayed out recidivous. Criming, if it isn't a word it should be, but criming all over and over and over again, unpunished, not uncaught, unpunished. Because to be convicted of a crime, you have to be caught by cops. And if that's not understood, I will make it bluntly clear again. To be a criminal, you have to be convicted of a crime. If no one tells cops, there is no crime. There is no criminal. And FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, does not tell cops. The SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, does not tell cops. In fact, cops tell me how they went all the way up to the District of Columbia Attorney General's office, all the way up to Jessie Liu, a Trump appointee, to her office, wanting her to jump on the Don Bennett matter. They wanted the cops to jump on the Don Bennett cartel matter. The DCDISB, Department of Insurance, Securities and Banking, the regulator oversight of Don Bennett crimes, they knew and did nothing since 2012. Oversight in Liu's liaison's words were back down. That message, the cops said, was communicated to them, to the D.C. police, to the D.C. attorney general. Those words allegedly came from Maryland U.S. attorney's office, an office that was formerly held at the beginning of the Don Bennett matter by Rod Rosenstein, the controversial, embattled personality in the Department of Justice. This Bennett was oversight of the District of Columbia. This Don Bennett was a D.C. Department of Insurance Securities Banking failure. It seems I documented, confirmed, proclivity for the D.C. Department of Insurance Security Banking employees to rather enjoy luncheons and conventions on the district taxpayer time and dime rather than doing as local government employees are expected to do to protect their citizens, to do their jobs as laid out in the statutes and the codes of the District of Columbia. RBC, the Royal Bank of Canada, is yet another D.C. DISB failure, another failure of the Department of Insurance, Securities, and Banking. It was brought to the DISB, the Department of Insurance, Securities, and Banking, in 2010. 2014 to 2015, the Royal Bank of Canada signed settlements with the D.C. and other state regulators on the exact crimes I brought to the D.C. regulator, to the SEC and FINRA as far back as starting in 2010. 2014 to 2015, the D.C. and other state securities regulators signed settlements on what is documented in my account, in papers the Royal Bank of Canada sent me, encrypted files, on an encrypted CD that the Royal Bank of Canada failed oversight of its RRs and CAs, its registered representatives and client associates. No money came back to the victims, no. No letters were sent warning victims or warning potential clients. Nothing was posted online on websites. Nothing. Nothing at all to clients and or victims. Cash went into FINRA and Securities and Exchange Commission slush funds. That was it. Silent crime. Unseen. Not reported to cops, hence no criminals. During this time, Eric Garner was caught the 11th time for selling cigarettes. Cops knew where he was. Cops knew where Eric Garner could be found. We all remember Eric Garner with his sign-off words, "I can't breathe." There is one big but, obstruction of justice. Obstruction of justice was confirmed in the Bennett trial by FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority lawyer Greg Sudlow. Obstruction of justice, witness tampering, document, evidence tampering were confirmed by Greg Sudlow. Ah. It's a story in itself. He testified under oath what FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory, had him do. Enter a crime scene, not with cops. The big piece of resistance I pieced together, who, how, when, why, and I'm in bad faith. I resist with releasing facts. I resist by sharing details. I fight back by releasing facts. I fight back by sharing details. The question I could not answer for a long time, the answer I looked for, the answer I sought, that had me hearing stereo with my one advisor that I left, Scott Sangerman at RBC, Royal Bank of Canada's Beverly Hills office, and the advisor in my other ear, the one Barron's served me up to, a victim on a silver platter. The answer was being monkeyed around with in the middle. They knew. Wall Street knew. Madoff said they knew. For 50-plus years, Wall Street knew about Madoff's crimes, about the crimes of others like Sangerman, like Bennett. And Congress didn't know that it was being played with like a dog with a sign stuck to its backside, the sign saying, "Kick me." Both sides of the hill were being played with by FINRA and the NASD, by the SEC, and the related entities that work together with keeping the crimes of securities broker-dealer firms covered up, the NASAA, SIFMA, SIPC, PIABA, an anagram of collusion covering up crimes you and I would go to jail for, and they do not. They did not until I came along, while the man and the women of Main Street go to jail. Families torn apart, while Wall Street families kept together, voting recidivists. The cops I know want that to change. The investment clients I know want that to change. I wonder if obstruction of justice charges can be leveled against legislators who knew everything I gave them all of this time. Maxine Waters knew. Steny Hoyer knew. Nancy Pelosi, Jeb Hensarling, the list goes on and on of who knew, too. I, for one, do not believe Ruth Madoff should have pocketed the $20 million Madoff wrangled for his sweetie. 1963, Ruth was writing checks for Bernard. Ruth was Bernie's bookkeeper. Someone cut the check, cut the $500 check to the SRO, to the NASD. Someone. And the sons, Mark Madoff and Andrew Madoff? Oh, they knew, too. How? We will talk. But until next time, please visit our websites, www.centerforcopyrightintegrity.com and www.thewallstreetwhistleblowers.com. Please, LinkedIn. You work too hard for someone you thought was a friend to live the life you never dreamed of, to live that life off of your time and your dime. We can lift this matter together. This matter is not in politics' forefront as it should be. This matter was not part of the run for the Congress, run for the presidency, as it should be. Investment client complaints do not go to the SEC, do not go to the SEC's sole appointed SRO, FINRA. So share our podcast, please. And until next time.